Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
So it's that time on Monday, and you know it's now time for the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. Two fantastic guests lined up for you today. Firstly, I'm going to be chatting with Dr. Pippa MacDonald, medical doctor at the Desmond Tutu Health Foundation. It's Pregnancy Awareness Week and STI Condom Week. We're going to be chatting to the doctor about the concerns, the increasing concerns as to the spread of STIs amongst the youth. Let us have your questions on our in-studio WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. Dr. MacDonald, welcome to the show. I just see you are on mute.
I'm on mute no longer.
And you're
thank
on
you.
Mute.
Lovely welcome.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much. So, Doc, can you tell us a little bit about, firstly, what are STIs?
Yes, of course. So, STIs are sexually transmitted infections. I think people sometimes refer to them as sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, but we tend to call them STIs. And the ones that we tend to focus on a lot is that many of the STIs are curable. And I think people also don't understand that. And there are more than 1 million of these curable STIs that are actually acquired every day in people between the ages of 15 and 49. And a lot of them don't have any symptoms. So here I've said that we've got a lot of STIs that people are getting age 15 and older, yet they don't have many symptoms. So people then are worried, there's so many STIs out there, how do I know if I've actually got one?
Right.
And those are the things that we can talk about today. And the ones I'd like to focus on a lot, and I'll stop talking now, is gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis.
Right.
Those are really important STIs.
So if we chat about sort of those primary STIs, and sort of when I was growing up in the 80s, HIV and AIDS was coming to prevalence, and everyone was getting concerned about safe sex. The utilization of condoms increased drastically, but we've also seen, from what I understand, a drop-off in the use of condoms and of protection for safe sex. So how are we seeing these specific diseases or infections infecting the youth or affecting the youth? And how have you seen, or have you seen, attitudes change towards safe sex?
Yes, I think that's a great discussion point. And unfortunately, we are seeing an increase in STIs, and most worrying is an increase in syphilis.
Right.
And I think the community that I work in particular, a lot of women in particular who are even more vulnerable than some of the men, can often not negotiate condom use. So a lot of unprotected sex happens, which makes people vulnerable to not only the STIs I was talking about, but also obviously pregnancy, as well as HIV, which I suppose in a way you could say is usually an STI as well.
Right. So if we look at those three infections, can we break down what each one is and its effects and its long-term risks?
Yes, of course. Now, STIs, if they go undetected and if they go untreated, can cause huge problems, particularly with people's fertility, and particularly in adolescent girls and young women and their fertility. So gonorrhea is a type of bacteria that is transmitted sexually. Gonorrhea can actually be found in three different places in your body. It can be found in your throat. That's usually obviously after oral sex. It can be found in a vagina and also in the anal regions. The most typical symptoms there are discharge and burning when someone passes urine. Those are the most typical symptoms. And people come to see us with these symptoms. It can be treated very effectively, usually with an injectable called ceftriaxone. And we like to give fairly high doses now because we do have a worry of a little bit of resistance. So that's gonorrhea. And just to say that even though those symptoms are obviously very obvious when you've got them, a lot of them also go undetected, and people can be what we call asymptomatic, which is why we do recommend regular testing. If you think you are at risk of getting sexually transmitted infections, we do recommend regular testing.
What does the testing involve? Is that just a blood test? Is it a swab?
So, great question. So, the testing can be a swab that's easily taken from the vaginal area, from the anus, and from the throat if necessary. Men can give urine samples, and in fact, women can also do urine samples. They're usually sent to a laboratory. I work with a lot of mobile health clinics in Cape Town, and we have an amazing machine. It's called a Gene Expert machine, where we can actually take that sample, so either the urine sample or the swab, and we can give a diagnosis within an hour and a half. And wow. If we've got a positive test, we then treat. And what's really important is that the partner is also treated. And it may be one partner, obviously maybe multiple partners, but we try and explain, you know, to the person who's visiting our clinics that we will treat them, but it's really important that they get their partners to be treated as well. Otherwise, you can definitely be reinfected.
Right.
And the same applies for chlamydia and syphilis, we can talk about a bit later.
Perfect. What I wanted to touch on, it was a point that you mentioned earlier, is that for many women, for many young women, it's not an option whether they are getting involved in intercourse. So they don't have a choice. They can't say no. They can't insist
Absolutely.
On protection. How often, if you have young ladies in these situations, how often, and they have tested positive or, you know, in the past, how often should they be coming to be tested if they're in a position where they can't say no?
So we like to offer testing every 3 to 6 months. And, you know, often it's really just what we call a screen. So we will ask the young women and the young men, all different population groups who come and visit us. We will do what we call a symptom screen. So we will ask them, do you have a discharge? Do you have any burning when you pass urine? Do you have any sores, any ulcers? That often goes with syphilis. Do you have any little blisters? Any sores, any symptoms that are worrying you? So that's what we call a symptomatic screen. Then every 6 months we like to do what we call an etiological screen, which is when we actually take samples. And this is to, as I said, people who feel they're at risk, they haven't been able to protect themselves. And just to mention about the treatment, if we cannot do what we call etiological testing, so finding out, is it gonorrhea, is it chlamydia, is it syphilis, we can treat syndromically, which is where we will then give 3 different medications or 2, which will cover the most likely causes of the infection or of the symptoms that they have.
Right. And what is there a cost around this for the patient?
So obviously within the government settings, there's absolutely no cost. There certainly shouldn't be. And where we work, as I said, I work for the Desmond Tutu Health Foundation. We have mobile clinics in the Western Cape. There's absolutely no cost to our participants at all. Some of your listeners may be part of private medical aids and obviously going to different GPs to screen. Then I'm sure there would be private medical aid costs and lab costs. But in the government setting, no, there should be absolutely none.
Fantastic. Because again, just coming back to the point of where young ladies have no choice, and then at least there's no barrier for them to be tested if they want to come in for testing. Which leads me to my next question. Is there a stigma around testing? Have you seen this inhibit people's willingness to come forward?
Absolutely. And I think that's why South Africa has such a high and increasing STI rate. And I think it's because of the stigma and discrimination. You know, when people do find out that somebody's had an STI, when we encourage our young people to tell their partners, sometimes there is discrimination and stigma there, unfortunately, which is very sad. And of course, you know, gender inequality, intimate partner violence, GBV, we see a lot of these, unfortunately, related to STIs, which is why it's on the increase and which is why people don't come for treatment. And I think sometimes, you know, we hope that all healthcare professionals are caring, are very kind and do not discriminate. But, you know, sometimes people even feel that some healthcare workers might discriminate against them too, not just their partners, not just their families, not people, but sometimes healthcare workers, which I hope they never come across,
Absolutely. But
they might.
So I'd like to touch on what we as a community can do to potentially reduce that stigma after our ad break, and then to touch on the other two infections that we've spoken about. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care, find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. I'm chatting with Dr. Pippa MacDonald, medical doctor at the Desmond Tutu Health Foundation. We're chatting STIs and condom use in Condom Week. Let us have your questions for the doctor on 061-895-1019 on our WhatsApp number. Doc, just before we went to the break, we were chatting about what could we as a community do, perhaps as employers, perhaps just as people within the community, to help lower the stigmatism around being tested.
One of the main things that we can do is educate and talk about STIs. And I think a lot of people, I obviously work with young people who are trying to prevent STIs, prevent HIV. I work with people who live with HIV. And this is something we talk about every single day. But for many people, it's a difficult topic, you know, for parents, caregivers, older people to talk to their children, to people that they care about. It can sometimes be very difficult. So the more we educate and tell people what is gonorrhea, what is chlamydia, use the terminology, what is syphilis, I think it doesn't become such a hidden, dreadful, not spoken about subject. And then, of course, when people understand what they are, how they present, and also the long-term implications, we then need to talk about what they can do to prevent them. And condoms really work incredibly well. If people know how to use condoms, if people use condoms, they absolutely can prevent these STIs, including HIV as well.
Right.
So I think the main thing is just to destigmatize it, talk about it, educate and ask questions. And if you feel a bit nervous, if you feel that you don't have the education to send them to different groups where people talk about it, that's I think really, really important.
And that's
and
great
the other
advice.
Thing, and the other thing is thinking about, you know, the vulnerable groups. Obviously, you know, STIs are more prevalent in, as I always say, the adolescent girls and young women, people who living with HIV are particularly vulnerable. Pregnant women, we need to, when they come to a clinic, like a Dis-Chem clinic, like any government clinic, a pregnant woman, we need to make sure, because if they've got gonorrhea, chlamydia, or syphilis, they might pass it on to their baby. So we target areas where we know particularly vulnerable people are. And of course, the vulnerable populations, transgender, diverse populations, where they're much more at risk.
Right. If we touch on the other two infections, how do they present? What are the risks surrounding them?
So chlamydia is very similar to gonorrhea, also mainly presents with a discharge and also with burning when you're passing urine. And so chlamydia and gonorrhea are very similar, often tested with the same little rapid tests. Syphilis is different. Syphilis usually presents with ulcers, so genital ulcers. And syphilis, I think we need to, we thought syphilis was something, I mean, when last did people talk about syphilis? Mm. We thought that syphilis was something that we didn't have to worry about too much, but we are seeing more and more people in our clinics present with syphilis, and we can do a little rapid test that can tell you actually within 15 minutes whether you've got syphilis. The treatment, just saying, for syphilis is much harder than it is for the other two. Gonorrhea can be treated with just one injection. Chlamydia can be treated with just one pill. But syphilis generally needs a series of three different injections, depending on the stage of syphilis, or even up to 30 days of treatment with a pill. So it's a bit more tricky to diagnose and a bit more tricky to treat, particularly, as I said, if people don't have symptoms and they're in that kind of latent phase.
If they're not presenting symptoms and they're not getting tested, what are the longer term risks?
So the longer term risks are obviously that you can spread it to your partners, you could spread it to your baby. And then particularly for women, I think the fertility risk, as I mentioned earlier, is one of the biggest problems. It's people can get pelvic inflammatory disease where it can actually affect your fallopian tubes, which is important for conceiving, for having babies. So I think that's probably one of our biggest concerns is fertility. And of course, to the baby in the cases, particularly of syphilis and gonorrhea.
Absolutely. Can we go back and touch on the importance of condoms, condom use? Because I think my understanding within society, what has happened is because HIV in the public eye became less prevalent or it's treatable now, you can live with it, there's no need to use condoms and less people are wanting to use them. Just how vital are they? How do they work? And just to drum home that message of safe sex.
Absolutely. And it's something we try and do every single day. And just touching on what you said about HIV, you're right, people can absolutely live a long and very healthy life with HIV on antiretrovirals. And there's also a lot of HIV prevention medication, which is probably a whole different session to talk about. But there's incredible HIV prevention medication that you can also take, daily pills to prevent HIV. But what we've seen here is, just as you touched on, when people think that they're either living with HIV and taking treatment, or they're not too worried about it, or they're preventing it with these daily pills, they then stop using condoms because they feel that they're not so at risk. So we really have to keep educating and reminding about the dangers of STIs and that these other pills don't protect against STIs. They don't protect against pregnancy. So condoms are absolutely vital. They really are our best armor, so to speak, to prevent STIs.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point to end on. Doc, just before we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to share, any message that you'd like to get across before we end?
Just really to say thank you for this amazing discussion and just talk about it. I know that sex and STIs can be such a difficult thing to talk about. Hearing those words, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, I mean, I know it makes some people just want to hide away. But please talk about it, learn about it, use condoms, prevent STIs. And thanks so much for having me on this talk.
It's been an absolute pleasure and honor to have you on the show. That was Dr. Pippa MacDonald, medical doctor at the Desmond Tutu Health Foundation. It is Pregnancy and STI Condom Awareness Week or week, and we were touching on the STIs that we should really become more aware of, the value of treatment, and the crucial point of using condoms.